Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Abiding in the Vine. This is the first in a series of messages I'll be sharing from John 15. I believe that Jesus was showing us in this one chapter of John everything we would need to know in order to live a successful life as a Christian. It begins with abiding in the vine and his word abiding in us. Jesus tells us that when we abide in him and his word abides in us, we can ask whatever we will and it shall be done. What an awesome statement. If we want our prayers to be answered, the key is for us to abide in the vine. I hope that you enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Father God, we're so grateful for the Word of God. We're so thankful that you've given us your Word and that we can read and meditate on it and be changed by it. We thank you for what we're going to learn from your Word this evening. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what you have given to us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, our teacher. And we receive tonight the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We come against any of the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for what we're about to learn, and I thank you, Father, that is going to change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So, I have come to understand that what my job is as a minister is to share with you what the Holy Ghost shares with me as he teaches me, as he instructs me in the things of God. My job is to share those things with you. And that's what I endeavor to do every Thursday night. And tonight, what we're going to be looking at is what he's been sharing with me out of the 15th chapter of John. And I was looking at it this past week, and it's interesting how the Holy Ghost is able to draw my attention to something that he wants me to look at and to receive from. You know, a lot of times, I guess I'm as guilty of this as anybody. You know, you think, I think I'm just going to look at this chapter or this verse in the Bible, and you go there and you start reading it and you get real involved with it. And I don't know why I ever have the idea that I originated that thought, but so often I do, and I forget that the Holy Ghost is really the one teaching me. And all I have to do is just relax and just rest in him, and he inspires me to go specifically to areas of the Bible he wants to teach me from. And I thank God for it. I hope he does that with you. I hope that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to his leadings. And don't take it for granted. Don't think that it's just you. You know, when you feel inspired to read something, go look at it. And as you're looking at it, here's another thing that I would like for you to consider is as you're reading, and all of a sudden, another verse from another part of the Bible seems to just rise up on the inside of you. Have you ever had that happen to you? Well, what is that? You know, that's the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what is happening is he's using your reborn human spirit and illuminating the word to you and bringing the understanding. And as he does this, he begins to join different parts of the word and bring them together in your understanding. And you start seeing the depth of the word of God. And it's not just the fact that we are able to study God's word, it's more than that. It's that we're able to get to know our Heavenly Father at a deeper level. You know, that's really what this is about, is getting to know him through his word. He has given us his own word for us to get to know him. And we're talking about God. the God of the universe, he wants us to get to know him. And he's given us his word to do that. Isn't that amazing? I just thank God for that right there. I thank God that he loves us so much. Glory to God. He loves us so much that he has given us, taken hundreds of years to put this word, the written word of God, in our hands. And as we read it, he begins to teach us, illuminate different areas of the word and bring it together and begins to create this picture on the inside of us. And what it is a greater understanding of who he is and what his whole mission here has been. Thank God for that. God doesn't want us to be in the dark. God doesn't want us to not understand his word. You know, that's just a ridiculous thought that people have, that only, you know, only the you know, the men and clergy are able to understand. And no, if you're born again, praise God, you have access to the teacher. You have a reborn human spirit that's illuminated, is able to understand and receive the things of God. Glory to God. That's good news. God wants you to get to know him, and he wants to use his word to do that. And he wants to take that word and read it and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to put these different areas of the word together so they have a greater understanding of who our Father is. Glory to God. Now, here's what some people will try to do, and they'll take, you know, one part of the Bible and they'll match it up with another part of the Bible to say something that it really doesn't say, in an effort to create a doctrine that's a false doctrine is what it is. And you can look at any cult that, you know, that uses the Bible to try to substantiate their claims. And at the root of all of it, you're going to see deception. You're going to see that they have taken the Word of God and they have cut and pasted. I'll use a 21st century term. We use that with the computer. They'll just cut and paste. You know, cut it from this area, copy it, paste it over here in this other area, and they'll try to make the Bible say something it doesn't say. I was talking to someone here recently, and I said, if you did that, you could just take the verse that said that Judas hung himself, go do thou likewise. And you, two verses from the Bible just stuck together. And you, but you know that's not in the heart of God. And so what's better is when the Holy Ghost is illuminating the word, and you begin to read it like I was saying at the beginning, John chapter 15. If you have your Bible, if you'd like to turn there with me. Probably won't get through this chapter tonight, which is okay. I think we're supposed to just start on this right now and maybe work our way through this chapter. And I say that because as I was reading this one day, this thought came to me that in the 15th chapter of John, of all places, within that chapter is the roadmap that we can use as a Christian. It's all of it's right in that 15th chapter, and I've read that 15th chapter I can't tell you how many times, but it never really jumped out at me the way it did this time. It didn't come off the page, and the illumination wasn't there like it was this time. And this time, as I read it, I'm like, my goodness, it's all there within that one chapter. You can see the roadmap of Christianity, what God has intended for his children. It's right here. This is what his expectations are for us. It's right in this verse. If you live out the 15th chapter of John, you will have lived out the life that God intended you to live as a new creation, child of the living God. This is his intent for us. So I know those are big claims, but I truly believe that that is a God-inspired claim. And so as he had me looking at this chapter, and he brought that thought to me, he followed it up with this. So I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. I want to read a little bit, and then I want to talk a little bit about it. In the first verse, it says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We're going to stop right there. Those three verses, we may not get any farther into this chapter tonight, but those three verses, and that'll be all right. Think about what he's saying here, particularly how he wound it up there in that third verse. What did he say? You're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. You're clean because of the word that I have given to you. He said that there's a purging in that second verse. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That purging, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's like talking about the pruning process that you have. I preached a message years ago about the pruning process that you have with a tree, and the fact that it's important. If you're going to have a tree that bears good fruit, you're going to have to cut away some of the excess so that the richness of the fruit will come forth, and you'll have a richer, sweeter tasting fruit. So, you know, picture, if you will, a Christian and going through this purging or this pruning process may not always be the most comfortable thing, you know, because you're cutting away at things that are not essential. You're taking away some of the excess growth, so that your what's left is going to produce richer fruit. So what does Jesus say here? He says the process of doing this is what? Is the word. Look what he said there in the third verse. Now you're clean. You've been purged. Why? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, he told them about the process. Then he told them in the third verse, I'm doing this process to you right now because I am releasing the word of God and you're hearing it. And as a result, it is causing a purging, a cleaning is taking place in you through the word. So as I read that and I looked at this, you know, I guess at times I've been bothered by the, you know, the true vine and not bothered by that, but the understanding of the true vine and Jesus being the true vine and God the Father being the husbandman. And what bothered me was the part that says every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away. That bothered me. I look at that and I think, well, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. I don't want to be taken away. Have you ever looked at that verse and thought that? Well, I have good news for you. Because as I've looked at this and allowed the Holy Ghost to bring more understanding inside of me, I'm realizing that the number one fruit is the fruit of the reborn human spirit. So long as you have that fruit, you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you have there has been a the seed of the word has gone inside of you, and it has produced the first fruit, being the fruit of the reborn human spirit. And I'm going to show you this as we go back and look at the one parable that Jesus said, if you understand this parable, then you'll understand all the other parables. And what parable is that? It's the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. And what is the sower sowing? It's the word of God. See how that connects with this right here? Because here Jesus said, you're clean because of the word, through the word that I have spoken unto you. See, there's a connection. See, I had never in all of my Christian life made that connection between the Mark chapter 4 and John chapter 15. But there is a clear connection here, because the word is the focus in both of these chapters. Here the word is what is doing the cleaning, the purging. And in Mark 4, the seed that the sower sowed is what? The word. So let's go back here to Mark 4. We'll take a few minutes and do a little refresher on Mark 4. Look at the 13th verse of Mark 4. I won't go through each of the soils. We'll kind of cover that here in just a minute. But look at the 13th verse. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all the parables? So this one, the reason for its importance, knowing this, is understanding that the seed of the word of God first will produce a reborn human spirit. See, that's the key. Once it produces the reborn human spirit, which is what is being discussed here, the first fruit is the reborn human spirit. Once that happens, go over here to the end of the parable, and look what Jesus said here in the 21st verse. This is, the parable ends in the 20th verse. And in the 21st verse, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Now, why in the world did Jesus, it seemed like he just couldn't stay on point. No, he was exactly on point, because he's talking about what takes place once that seed of the word of God produces a reborn human spirit. What happens? The light of that candle is illuminated. Your reborn human spirit with the life of God is the light that shines on the inside of you. And it is placed there to illuminate God's word to your human spirit. In other words, what does it say here? A candle is a candle brought to be put under a bushel. You don't do that with a candle. You don't put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, so what? So that the light illuminates the room. Now, why put that verse following the parable of the sower? It's very, very easy. Because the parable of the sower is talking first about the seed that produces the reborn human spirit, and the fact that it illuminates your whole being with light that produces the understanding of the word of God. It illuminates you so that you can see and understand. You know where you're, the things of God. You understand the things of God now. You're able to follow your Heavenly Father. It's all part and parcel of that reborn human spirit. And that is what Mark chapter 4, the seed of the word, that's the first thing that it produces. And after it produces that, then there's other fruit, 30, 60, 100, that is produced. But that only happens after the Word produces that human spirit. Now go back here. Let's look at a few of these. In verse 14, the sower, he sows the Word. These are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. See, this is a person that, you know, they may hear the Word, but there's no attempt to be made to grab onto that Word. It's sown on in soil that is, I have a picture in my head that this soil is the part of the soil that surrounds the field. In other words, if you had this fertile soil in the field, the part that the wayside ground is the part on the edges where the people walk or where the wagons would be pulled around, or a car would drive, or tractors would go on. And what happens to that soil? It is packed down hard. It is hard. Talk about a hard-hearted person. And that seed is just, it hits that soil and it bounces. And in no time, immediately, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Now you might say, well, there's no hope for that person. Well, that's not true. I can remember myself being a very hard-hearted person at one point in time. But see, I know someone was praying for me. That God of the harvest, send laborers into Mark's life. Thank God. Someone came. See, there's nobody that's so far gone that there's just no hope for them. Yeah, I know as I said that, there's passages in Hebrew talking about someone that, they're so far out there that there's no hope for them. Well, that's somebody that really knew what they were doing in the things of God, that just turned their back. This isn't someone that's just a novice in the things of God. What Hebrews is talking about is someone that is well-versed, and they turn and walk away from God, having had revelation and knowledge of the things of God. And most likely, I'm not talking to someone that would probably fit their situation. So don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you've done too much. I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin talking about someone that was in a mental hospital. And the thing that he said was that the majority of the people that were in there, if you asked them, they would say that they believe that they have committed the unpardonable sin. Isn't that sad? Not true at all for them, I'm sure. But see, that's how the enemy works. He tries to convince you, oh, you've done too much. No. All you have to do is repent and turn and come back to Jesus. Just that simple. Amen. So, the first example here was someone that had, who was hard-hearted. The seed was sown, but Satan took that seed away. The second one, and these are they, verse 16, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. It's for the word's sake. Those things that are coming, the enemy is using persecution. He's using affliction. And it's coming against you and me for what reason? It's coming for the sake of the word. Now, in this case, this person, in this parable, this person is in that area where they are hearing the word, but and they, I don't believe that we're talking about a born again person here. I don't believe in this parable that the born again person appears until the last example, where the good seed is planted in the good soil and produces a harvest 30, 60, and 100. I believe that up until that point, that you're seeing examples of a person that is receiving the you know, giving, having the word spoken unto them, but there's not a transaction taking place where they are being born again. And let's look at the third example. See, this in that second example here, it's for the word's sake, and immediately they're offended. Immediately. See, there's no time for anything to be produced because they're immediately offended. And then in the last, or in the third one, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke what? The word. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've read this parable. And for some reason, this time, those words seem to jump out at me. Follow what I'm saying here. As the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in. So here's a person. Let's say they're not born again, but the word is here. The word has been preached to them. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in. What happens? See, in the example before this, where it says they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for word's sake, immediately they are offended. When they are offended, what do? They turn loose of the word. But in this example, when the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, what do those things coming into that person's heart do? Those things choke the word. They choke the word. See, the word's there, ready to produce. In this case, ready to produce that reborn human spirit, and this person is all consumed with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. The word comes in, you can be born again, and all the things of this world bombarding this individual chokes. Think about that. It chokes the word. It just seems like it just stands up off the page whenever I see that. These things choke the word. They choke it. Doesn't mean that the word did not have the ability to produce. It does every time. But when these people have, or this person has, their whole being is consumed with all of this junk from this world, it renders the word of God unfruitful. It is choked. I tell you, I believed in the world we live in today that right there is the problem that so many people have. Because their life is so consumed with what's going on in this world. Are we going to have enough electricity? Are we going to have enough energy? Or are we consuming all of the things in the world? We're just going to destroy this world. you know, and they're just so distraught with what's going on around them, the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches. My goodness, I've come across people that are just consumed with things, money. It's their whole life. That's all they think about. And you think, everything on this planet is going to burn up. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everything that you see, it has an end and is going to be destroyed. We're not taking any of it with us. It's all going to stay right here. So, you know, no matter how much a person invests their life into the things that they have, it's not going with them. And eventually, it's either going to rust away or it's going to be destroyed by fire. So, what do you want to invest your life in? Do you want to invest it in something that's eternal, that has eternal value? Or do you want to invest all of your strength and all of your energy in something that's just simply going to either rust and fall apart or burn? I mean, that's the real question. You know, I want to invest my life in eternal things. People are eternal beings. And that's what's going to follow us into eternity, are the souls that we affect and that we take with us. That's what matters. Amen. And then there's the fourth, and we all know the fourth example in the parable of the sower. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as, look at these things, hear the word and receive it. See, that's the transaction I was talking about earlier. Hearing the word and receiving it. And then you're able to bear fruit. You have to hear it, but you have to receive it. You know, there's a lot of word that goes out that people just, it's like it bounces off of them. I know for myself, there are areas of the word that I have to continue to put it inside of me, because it's still, I'm still not, don't have the understanding on some things, obviously. And so I want to have a greater understanding of my Father. So I'll put more of the word in, and eventually the light will come on and I'll understand something more about him. But the key is to keep putting it in so that the understanding can come. So the Holy Ghost has something to illuminate. If there's no word going in, there's nothing for him to illuminate. The word has to go in order for him to shine the light on. And see, let's connect this. Mark 4, let's connect this with John 15. That word going in, what happens? Well, John 15, chapter 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. So let's go back to what I was saying at the beginning. You know, the times I've read this, you know, years gone by, where I've read this verse and I thought, oh, I don't want to be a branch that's not bearing fruit, you know. And sometimes, yeah, I'm sure people get a little anxious they read a verse like this. But see, the fruit that's being born first is the fruit of that reborn human spirit. And if a branch doesn't have that fruit, see, who's Jesus talking to here? He's talking to Jewish people. See, there, and this will help you kind of understand a little bit. He's talking to people that think that because they're part of the Abrahamic covenant, hey, we're in. No, you're not in unless you have the seed of the Word of God going inside of you, producing a reborn human spirit, because you hear the Word and you receive it and you bear fruit. The first being the reborn human spirit. After that, then the 30, 60, and 100-fold. But first, there needs to be the reborn human spirit. And see, that's why when he's speaking here in the first verse of the 15th chapter, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. 30, 60, 100. Do you want to bear more fruit? Then here's the key. The purging process. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word going in, will the Holy Ghost will be able to take the word of God and cause that purging to take place, that cleansing, so that the unnecessary things are being lopped off. And what remains will bear richer fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. See how those two seemingly unconnected chapters, Mark chapter 4, John chapter 15, see how they connect together? Now, I want to bring out to help substantiate a little bit more of the vine and what Jesus was speaking about here in the verse 1 of 15, talking about that being the Jewish nation and the fact that they needed to produce the fruit of repentance and the fruit of the reborn human spirit. Let's look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we're going to see John the Baptist. He's going to make some statements here in Matthew chapter 3. They're going to help us kind of establish what Jesus is saying in John 15. We're going to back up verse 10. It'll be our target verse, so we're going to back up to verse 7. But when he, that's John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now, he's talking. I can say this for myself. I mean, I don't think that I truly appreciate what the magnitude of what John's saying here, as he is looking at these Sadducees and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. These are the people that everyone looks up to spiritually. And John looks at them and said, you generation of vipers. Well, that's out there. He is really making a statement to these Sadducees and Pharisees. Let me go back to the first verse. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him and in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw, this is John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now Also, look at these words. The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. And look at these words, cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The verse that I was looking at is the 10th verse. The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. See, there's a connection here. He's talking to these Sadducees and these Pharisees, these people that believe that their connection to God is solidified in the Abrahamic covenant. And all they have to do is follow the law and they're in. That's what they believed. If we just follow this law, we're in. And that wasn't the case at all. In fact, the axe was being laid to the root of the tree. And it wasn't going to be through the law that mankind was going to experience the new birth. It was going to be through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we would be reborn into God's family. But see, the Pharisees and Sadducees, see, they're the ones that wanted Jesus hung on that tree. They did not understand that their whole belief system, their whole way of living was having an axe laid to the root of it. Because why was that? Because it did not have the ability to produce a reborn human spirit alive unto God. It did not have the ability to cause a person to be born into God's family. You could follow that law, but you would never follow it perfectly. You could do the sacrifices, but it never made you righteous. You're only righteous in the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. See, that law did not make you righteous. There was imputed righteousness, but it never made you righteous. But see, we that are born again, glory to God, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, that's that fruit of the reborn human spirit. That's what God was heading towards. That was his objective all along, to get that inside of mankind. Not for man to follow a law, so that that was only to show man that they needed to be born again. It was never to produce righteousness. It was to show them that they were unrighteous. But see, mankind, because the selfish, self-centered ideas, they looked at it and they said, well, this will make us righteous. No, it will never make you righteous. It wasn't intended for that. It wasn't intended to produce the reborn human spirit. So the axe was laid at the root of the tree. So you go back here to John chapter 15. It says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Now, for anybody that has the idea that, and I say this, with some trepidation, but if a person has the idea that someone that is of the lineage of Israel, in the natural, you know, their genealogy can be traced back to Abraham in the natural sense. If you believe that that person is going to heaven just because they were born a Jew, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that person needs to be born again because the axe was laid at the root of that tree. And it did not, because it did not produce the fruit of a reborn human spirit, it was cut down. And so now we can look at the rest of that verse. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We're clean. God's word is cleansing us. It's removing the things that are that shouldn't be there in our lives. When we read the word of God, when we read the things that in God's word that tells us, you know, this right here. Well, let me say that differently. When we read the word of God and the Holy Ghost begins to illuminate things in our life that shouldn't be there, what he's doing is he's taking the word of God and he's purging us. He's pruning us. You begin to think differently, which and your will begins to change. Excuse me, which is what we're going to find out later in this chapter. I want to read a little bit more because this verse has come up inside of me, and I'm going to read till we get to it. I think it's going to be verse 7. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So if we're going to bear fruit, we're going to have to abide in Jesus, in his word. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you cannot do anything. Well, that's a big statement right there. See, and I'm being reminded of the statement I made early on. This 15th chapter, if we look at this whole chapter, within it is the whole key of living a Christian life. It's all right here. Abiding in the vine, abiding in his word, allowing his word to purge us, to clean us. And in doing so, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to be a fruit-bearing person. You're going to, the 30, the 60, and the 100, you're going to begin to see this in your life. The more that's purged off, the more of the world that's pruned away, that's removed from you, the more of the flesh that is able to be pruned and cut off is going to cause you to bear richer fruit. And that fruit is going to draw people. It's going to draw people to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If you don't abide in him, if you don't abide in Jesus, you're cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burnt. I don't want to be that person. What's that person? That person is not born again. That person is cast into the fire. It's not saying here that if you're a born-again person and you just don't do anything for the kingdom of God, God's just going to do away with you. That's not saying that. If you don't have the reborn human spirit, you are cast out. And you're, it says here, cast them into the fire and they're burnt. Now look at the verse 7. This is the verse that, as I was speaking earlier, just seemed to float up to the top. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Look at this. This is exciting. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Oh my goodness, you can just stop right there. See, you can read that and just go on to verse 8, 9, 10, just keep reading and miss the depth of what that verse is saying. If you abide in him, If you abide in Jesus and His Word abides in you, in other words, it's not that you just, you know, get a verse here or there, you know, you just read it now and again. Every once in a while you'll pick it up and dust it off and read it. No. If His Word is abiding in you, if you feed on His Word, if you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, look at what can happen. You shall ask what you will. Your will is going to be affected. What do you mean, Mark? Your want to changes. Boy, I tell you what, I've seen this over the course of my life. Early on, I was all about things. I was all about having stuff. Money was important to me. And over the course of time, as more of God's Word has gotten in, more of His Word, my will has changed. The desires of my heart have changed. No longer am I consumed with the things that this world is consumed with. No longer. And it feels good. You know, it's like you can see the world is heading in this direction, and here you are going over here in a completely different direction. How is that? It's because the Word is going in you, and it's changing the way you think. It's changing the desires of your heart. You want to do what God wants you to do. And consequently, you can ask God what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Because you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, you're not going to ask for a bunch of things that are going to gratify your flesh. Because His Word is abiding in you. Because it's changing the way you think and the way you feel. There's a pruning that's taking place. Pruning off the things of this world. And as a result, you want what God wants. You ask according to that desire in your heart, and God, He gives that to you because it's going to do what? Benefit the kingdom. See, that's what this is about. It's the expansion of God's kingdom, not the expansion of Mark's kingdom or your kingdom. The expansion of God's kingdom. Well, how does His kingdom expand? By more children coming into His family. That's what this is all about. Expanding His family. You see, it's all really very simple. God wants more kids in His family. He does not want the part where it's talking about the ones that are cast into the fire. He doesn't want anybody going there. He doesn't. He has done everything possible to keep people, humanity, from going in that direction. Everything. Well, it takes people that are committed to abiding in the vine, abiding in Him, and allowing His Word to abide in us so that our will lines up with His will, so that when we ask according to His will, He answers us because we're asking what He desires for us. Amen? That's good. You want your prayers answered? What we're talking about here is having all of your prayers answered. But it's because the desire of your heart lines up with His desires. And when that happens, here's what will take place. The cry of your heart isn't going to be for this new thing or that new thing. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having things. But the heart cry, what you yearn for is going to be what God yearns for. It's going to be souls for the kingdom. It's going to, the prayer is going to be for those that are lost. See, his desire will become your desire. Well, what does God desire? More kids. So, you see, his word going inside of you is going to do that. It's going to affect the way you think, the way you feel, the desires of your heart. They're going to line up with his desires. Abiding in the vine, abiding in his word. His word abiding in you. Glory to God. God's made it very simple. As long as we will take his word and put it in our hearts, his word will, that transformation process Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12, causes that through that renewing of our mind, it transforms us. And that transformation is, I believe, part and parcel of that purging process. Getting rid of the superfluous things in our life, the things that are just time consumers, things that would keep us from fulfilling the plan of God for our lives. Just get into his word. Get his word inside of you. Focus on his word. He's done so much to put his word into our hands so that we could get this into our hearts. So I encourage you, if you don't do anything else, get this word of God inside of you. Listen to it, read it, speak it, confess it, say it. However you can get this in you, because this will change your life. Well, that's about all the time we have for this evening. We'll probably pick up here in John 15 again in our next lesson, because again, I believe that what the Lord is showing me is in this one chapter. And this one chapter is the key for living a fruitful Christian life. You know, I think that's what everybody wants. I want my life to matter for the kingdom. It's right here in his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. Thank you. Your word is so, so precious. Such power, this is wonderful. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. Thank you, Father, that we can abide in you and abide in your word abide in us. And it will change us. It will purge us. It will cleanse us. I thank you for the good fruit. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold coming forth in our lives. Father, I pray that every person that listens to this will have such a thirst, such a hunger to get in your word that they can't put it down. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.